Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you, John C. Dvorak.
And this will be our last show for the year.
Yep.
Because every Tuesday, of course, we're doing this on Wednesday because I had to go to a Christmas party yesterday. But every Tuesday is a holiday, so I guess we can't do the show until next year.
Well, I did tweet this today also and did explain that we were having an extra day in between. And the thought came to me, I guess that every Christmas party needs a Scrooge, right?
What's that got to do with me?
Nothing. Anyway, moving along. Aren't you a bah humbug? Are you a Christmas, like, decorating and hanging the stuff?
My Christmas wife carol? Makes up for the two of us. She likes to pack every little, you know, she like if she was going to give you a jar, she'd pack the lid separately.
Oh.
You know, so
make it a process.
So there's a million gifts, and I'm the one that does the decorations on the house, and, you know, even though some time ago I'm kind of reluctant to admit this, but I have switched to I bought an artificial tree about 5 or 6 years ago because I was sick of the pine needles in the house. It was just, you know, annoying.
Terrible fire hazard, too.
Yeah, and it's a fire hazard. That's true. And ever since I did that, I've never looked back because every year I pull out the same tree and just decorate it a little differently, and it does the job. It doesn't smell nice like a real tree, but it's definitely...
You spray it with some flavoring. It becomes a part of the family.
But my parents, once upon a time, they did the same thing. I remember years ago when I was a little kid. But they bought a collectible, by today's standards, I don't think you can get these anymore, but it was an aluminum tree.
I've seen those. Is it all silver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and the key was you put the balls on it and then put it on a spinning thing.
Oh, nice.
This is a very 50s, 60s kind of thing. It would be on a spinner. It would be spinning with balls on it and then these big spotlights, different colored spotlights that had rotors on them. So
wow.
The colors were always changing.
Nice. That's the kind
I'd actually do that if any of that stuff was available.
Yeah, that's cool. Us Jews, we have a little menorah. That's it. Nope. You know, it's a whole different thing. Don't forget that, you know, everybody's like, oh, the Christians have Christmas, and you know, we have. It's not the same holiday. It's a whole different thing. It's, you know, we celebrate that a little bit of oil lasted 8 days in a lamp. That's the celebration. that's what it's all about.
It's all about savings.
Exactly. It's all about how you could scrimp, so, you know, and make do versus the idea of Christmas, which is just kind of give and be, you know, lush.
It's extravagant. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't like the holiday personally. A lot of families break up during the Christmas season and Thanksgiving, Christmas, the 1-2 punch.
Well, the problem with that is that, you know, the problem with holidays and why families have so much problems is because they're together.
Exactly. Yeah, without the holidays, they wouldn't have this issue.
Have the problems.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the things. End of year, we know the fiscal cliff is approaching, and we talked about how the only solution is either to go over the fiscal cliff or for the Republicans to say, hey, okay, fine, do your thing, which it seems like it's getting closer to that. Supposedly, there's a mere $200 billion of gap between the budget deal of the president and of the Republicans now. Supposedly Republicans are going to vote on it tomorrow. President Obama said about this Plan B. Boehner came up with Plan. Isn't Plan B a pregnancy thing?
Plan B, B stands for Boehner.
Oh. Sometimes we call him Boehner, by the way.
Yeah, when I first saw his name, that's why I thought it was pronounced Boehner.
You know that everybody was calling him Boehner in high school.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Boehner, come here. Let me punch you in the arm.
Yeah, and his brother's name, Richard Boehner. That was good. And so Obama threatened that he's going to veto Plan B. And then after hours tonight, there were some more things that they're still at a standstill. So we're hearing a little bit like, hey, there's movement and the markets are happy. And then they were seeing that and the markets sell off today. And it's the whole thing is honestly, it's a terrible situation. But the rest of the world does think that we're going to get through this. And that we're going to come up with some solution, and you know, as I say, it's pretty easy to fool investors with information that is inaccurate. You know, everybody just wants to buy into the fact that when we come to an agreement, everything's hunky dory moving forward.
Right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Whatever the case, I don't like the looks of it, but we'll see. But this will be our last show for the year, so we have to kind of do some end-of-year wrap-ups. And you suggested off the mic that we might want to pull all of our stocks on the chart thing.
Well, just to kind of close them out for the year and start anew.
Okay, so we can close them out, and then we can go back into the same ones, or they're just
Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. But we'll close them out. Because some of them are aging, which is fine.
Yeah, some of them are pretty old.
And that's okay. And some of them are, for example, we have some rules on there that, the 10% rule. You might as well just take the profit while we can. If you look at that, we'll get to that in a second. They're looking pretty good. And maybe we'll change the rules up a little bit next year. We'll talk about that. But basically, nothing major. But make it more fluid and more real life versus just a 10% stop or whatever that we do now. So we have that opportunity to do that. But maybe not. We'll talk about it. We have plenty of time.
All right. Well, we don't have plenty of time because we're finishing up. But, okay, let's take a look at some of the news items.
Okay. Horrible situation, obviously, in Connecticut. Terrible.
Right.
Terrible with the shooting. You know, there was that, and then there was a follow-up shooting somewhere out west. Then there was that whole knife. You see that knife melee in China?
Yeah.
What's up with the knives in the schools? And what is with these people
going? They haven't got guns, so they use knives. A nutball's a nutball. There was a case, in fact, somebody sent this around the internet, in 1926, apparently some janitor got irked, and he blew up a school, killed about 35 little kids.
What's the story with the schools? I don't understand. I really don't understand it.
I don't know. I'm not a psycho, so I can't get into it. I don't know. It's baffling to me why they want to go. There's a lot of, I don't know. It's baffling. It's not good. Maybe they represent something to these guys. I have no idea.
Maybe. It was all. We had this whole post office situation for a while. Remember that?
And you got every other day somebody was shooting up the post office.
Right.
That's what bothers me. These things are trendy.
Well, a couple things happened with that. And talking about this horrible situation with regard to investments, the gun companies really got smacked pretty good. Two of them in particular, Smith & Wesson and Sturm Ruger. There was this whole outrage that we're going to ban assault rifles and all this stuff, but all right, the rifle wasn't even used, but okay, it seems. But there was this bizarre situation where there was a rule and a law going to be passed to limit the amount of bullets in a magazine to, whatever it was, 10, let's say, or allow them, from the overstuff, which was, I think it was 30. They didn't let that go through, that law, and, this guy went in with multi large magazines and these guns.
Well, can I ask you a question about this? Because it's always been baffling to me.
Yeah.
So they banned the 10 magazine or the anything bigger than 10 bullets magazine.
Yeah, right.
So through the underground, let's say I'm a crazy person. I'm going to shoot up the place knowing I'm probably going to get killed. And in the underground, I go find a magazine that holds 50 bullets, a couple of them. Mm-hmm. And so I put that in there. I go downtown and shoot up the place. What does the law accomplish?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to get that straight.
And the same thing, what does the law accomplish if you're going to, have some kind of, with a cooling off period or whatever it may be? I don't get the whole idea of assault rifles, those really heavy duty, kind of military style guns. I don't understand why any hunter would need that.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that the Bushmaster I thought was a rat gun. They kept calling it an assault rifle. I mean, it's got styled like one, but I've seen BB guns that are styled like an assault rifle. It doesn't mean they're assault rifles. A lot of these rifles are designed to shoot a vermin. I mean, that's what you get them for. You're on a farm. You got rats. Mm-hmm. From the next door neighbor's garbage dump coming over your way, and so you pick them off with one of those, high powered 220 Swift or one of those little fast bullets that if it hits anywhere near the thing, blows them to smithereens.
Right.
I don't know. Companies. But meanwhile, the gun sales have skyrocketed in California.
Well, that's what's interesting. So what happened was a couple of things. So the first day you hear, okay, everybody gets nervous with the gun companies because there's going to be some gun legislation coming on. I'm thinking to myself, well, this gun legislation, everybody just goes out and buys the crap out of these things, right? First of all. Second of all, then you see, I think it was Cabela's, Sporting Goods, stopping all sales of rifles.
What?
Yeah. They were stopped. I think it was Cabela's. Maybe it was Dick's, but one of the two. They stopped.
I find it hard to believe that Cabela's would do this. Have you ever been to one of those things?
I'm telling you. Here, I'll pull it up on the news. My internet is good. Okay, let's see. It was Cabela's. rifle sales. Sales. Maybe it's in the news. Let's see. In the news, web, more news. I think it was them. Dick's, Cabela's, others reconsider sales of Sandy Hook gun. Several major firearms dealers are rethinking sales strategies. The rifle that used in Friday's massacre.
That one gun. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes
Dick,
sense. Because
No. Dick suspends some rifle sales nationwide post-shooting. You know? And they whacked the
I always thought the rule. I thought we got to go back to talking about stocks. But another question for you would be: I always thought the big scandal about the ease that Americans have weapons was a complaint about pistols. But people can have their rifles for hunting, but we should ban pistols because of the Saturday Night Special and the guns that are used by the gangs. They don't use a rifle. The gangs in Oakland, they got pistols. But now it's rifles? This is confusing me. I think we have to let this blow over for a while before we start getting into it.
Well, this is what's interesting about this when it comes to stocks. And this is kind of, a good lesson. It's very difficult to think through this because obviously we're dealing with a very emotional situation. So Vanguard comes out and says, because Vanguard owns about 7% of Sturm Ruger and 6% of Smith & Wesson or something like that. It says, we can't be constrained by social issues when investing, which I agree with, by the way. I mean, there may be something you find horrible that you just don't want to invest in. But, generally speaking, you go with companies that are making money. That's the whole idea of investing, right? But what's happened since then was when these companies got knocked down and all that, all these, politicians coming out with their talk about this stuff, prices for handguns magazines are surging on eBay. And semi-automatic rifles are sold out at many Walmart stores. Then you have the searches of five kinds of semi-automatic rifles on Walmart's website show them out of stock in five stores. And this Glock handgun magazines sold for $118. They were $45 the day before the shooting.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Now, so the stocks got really hammered. Well, we owned a small piece of Smith & Wesson. Good company. Really did well. Last earnings were great, even though the stock came down after earnings. We added back Sturm Ruger a couple days ago. We added to it on the dips, added to it. And today they were just blasting off. They're up like 7 or 8% each today because the realization is that with any kind of gun control, first of all, that people will still buy guns. And second of all, it's going to spook people to buy them even faster. Now, I did a post last week. This is morbid. I apologize. Because I wanted to understand what I was getting into if I was going to start buying some of these. We looked back at some of the worst massacres and shootings over the last, since Columbine. And we looked at the 1 day, 5 day, and 1 month post period, what the price of these stocks did. It was kind of interesting to look at. They clearly went down the day of, but a couple days later, they picked back up. And they, when the realization was that people were still going to buy guns and that people would actually probably buy more guns.
It's like a whipsaw effect. So you could, the big killing would take place. You'd wait a day for the stock to bottom out and then buy hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is sick.
It's sick. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm just telling you, I'm sorry. All right, moving along to a less morbid, although slightly morbid. Morgan Stanley is pulling the plug on Paulson's funds. Paulson, the guy who made all the money on the
mortgage deals.
On the mortgage deals. And his funds were down, 50, 60% last year, 30% this year, something ridiculous. He has a lot of funds that are backed by gold and a lot of the gold miners. And, when those go down, he gets hit pretty hard on those because he actually has the currency that backs the investments in gold, offsets it that way. So here's something interesting. If you remember last week, I talked about how gold looks like it was going to break down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It did. Our short from last week is up 5.5% right now.
Oh, nice.
Now, what's interesting is that, we wonder if there was a big seller out there, could it be Paulson because he's having to liquidate his funds with Morgan Stanley?
Oh, very funny. Yeah. Yeah. Good one.
And he has to pull this. This came up today, actually, because it's been kind of a lot of downward pressure on, big volume and a couple of big moves. Holding support right now, 1691 is about the support level on this, but it's a little bit higher than that. But it kind of came down, from, 24 down to 1691, 1724 to 1691. So if this big seller gets completed with the amount that they have to sell, will gold see a rebound? Now, I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, whatever it is, and we got to watch the dollar and all that, but the dollar's been very weak, and that's not usually a recipe for gold going down.
Right.
So something's a little strange in the market.
Hmm.
Now, what I looked at was not a when I looked at it, it was a technical issue. It was not at all a fundamental issue, because we know that gold holdings in some of these funds are at the highest they've ever been, and gold's really in vogue because of all the central banks buying and all that. So I thought that was interesting to take a look at, and we'll have to look for a basing level. It did hit my support level exactly like within a dollar. We'll see. Have to see if it holds that, and then it will kind of ramp the other direction.
Hmm.
But some of the things that were interesting, I think, I looked at some commodities tonight before the show to come up with some idea of really what's going on out there. There's been some really interesting drawdowns this year. So soybeans were a high of 1792 in September, now at 1438, a 20% drop. So that's what? How long is that? That's 2 months?
Yeah, not much.
Natural gas was $4 at the end of November, 337 now, 15% drop. Wheat was 980. Now, remember, all these were really moving higher because of the horrible drought issues.
Right,
and all the
the drought.
And if you look at a chart, they really ramped up pretty hard. But wheat is 17% off from where it was in July. Corn is 16% off from where it was August. And crude oil is 22% off from where it was in April.
What do you think's going on?
I think that there was an overreaction, first of all, to the drought issue. That's so that's on the foodstuffs. So the wheat, corn.
That was played up by the global warmists.
Yeah. Natural gas just took a major ride after just dropping, to nowhere. And then obviously you had some of the weather issues, and you had the switchover from coal and the big, talk about shutting down coal and then picking up natural gas. Crude is an issue of inventory build and global demand slowing. That's the issue there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought it was kind of interesting. I think that this could be an interesting place to look, some of these commodities, because, corn got smoked today. So did soybeans. Hmm. Wheat got killed. I think wheat was down close to $20 today or something like 18, 12 bucks or something like that. It was pretty down pretty hard.
Hmm.
Anyway, something to look at maybe for next year, an idea to kind of maybe take a look at some of these commodities. Some other news. Video gamer THQ said it's filing for bankruptcy. I think that was kind of interesting. These companies that you would think would do so well, its problem is the mobile gaming platforms have killed them. Meanwhile, the mobile gaming companies can't make money either, though.
No, their models are all bad, so mm-hmm. they haven't figured out what to do.
Yep.
Well, games have got to be a cycle. It's always been a cycle. The market's collapsed a couple of times on the gaming industry, and why shouldn't it happen again? Maybe all of it will just, right. What's the new games? Call of Duty 10? Is we going to
yeah,
Call
exactly.
of Duty
Halo.
20? Halo right. 10? How many right. of these games are they going to keep? They have nothing new.
When they did
invent?
Some of the new stuff, when they did new stuff, like when the Nintendo Wii came out and it reinvented the way you do gaming, when Guitar Hero, and those kind of things that had or Band Hero, whatever it's called, when that stuff came
Guitar
out.
Guitar Hero, Band, Garage Band.
Yeah.
Two
yeah.
of them, two games.
When that came out, that was kind of interesting because it was a brand new way to interact.
Yeah.
So I think until we find a new way, maybe with your smart device or something, I don't know, it's going to be a problem because – how much more can you do? And I think people are getting – maybe the kids aren't, but it's enough of the warfare already. Or the people driving down the road in a stupid taxi drive yelling and cursing at people and beating them up. Ridiculous.
Yeah, well, these things are faddish again. They come and go.
Let's see what else we have. UBS is paying $1.5 billion in a settlement that they manipulated interest rates in LIBOR.
Criminal charges.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time they started putting some of these guys in jail.
Yeah, two former traders, $1.5 billion settlement. But do you realize how much notional value that they actually manipulated during those days?
It's probably unfathomable. It must be
ridiculous.
Trillions.
Yep. Because the whole world's interest rates were structured on those.
Right.
So let's see what else we got here.
You got the Kodak story.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It's terrible,
right?
terrible.
It's sad. It's terribly sad. Kodak, who do they remind you of? What other company they remind you of that had it and then just squandered
it? Well, Polaroid was one of them. They're very similar. Both, although it wasn't a film company.
Xerox? Maybe
Xerox, absolutely. But Xerox is still in business.
Blockbuster?
Blockbuster, yeah, well.
No, I mean, seriously, Blockbuster had the gig. They just they couldn't get themselves going.
Well, no, they were stuck in one, you know, one note Johnny. I mean, a lot of people, they get their success, kind of the success engram in their brain. It's their what they do best. And then when things change, when Netflix came along, they should have moved right then, but it was too late.
Right. So you talk about this a little bit. This is kind of interesting, I thought.
What, the Kodak thing?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Kodak has a lot of patents on CCDs and digital photography and all this. Of course, they have all the patents, a lot of film stuff. Of course, a lot of this stuff is gone. But they still expected to get a $2 to $3 billion for its patent portfolio, which has got to be loaded with cool stuff. It probably take forever to get through it all. You know, these patent guys, they buy this and then they start plowing through it to find where they can get their money back. And so they only got $525 million. Which is, you know, they were hoping to buoy the company because the company still has businesses that it runs. It's got a digital printing operations and things like that. I feel really bad about it because Kodak actually reminded me a little bit of General Electric some years ago. I was at some event sitting with some General Electric guys. And these guys were just arrogant. They would say stuff like, yeah, well, we invented the remote control. You know, we invented the clock radio and all these things they invented. And the their idea of what the remote control was the one button thing, you know, click. And you had to go all the way around, click, 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 click to get to the channel. They just had this weird attitude about and Kodak had a little bit of that because of the hubris from the film guys. And when they went to digital, which I think they could have done better with, because they made a lot of good cameras, and to this day, I think the Kodak. There's a couple cameras I still use that are Kodak cameras because I think they have some of the best instant recognition stuff that tells you what it adjusts the camera appropriately, really quickly.
Is this film or is this digital?
Digital, and their menuing system is by far superior. In fact, I asked them about this once. I said, why is your menuing system? This is like 5 years ago. So much better than, you know, what I get from Olympus or Canon or these other companies. And the guy's explanation was, well, in Japan, it's considered prestigious to have a complex menuing structure on the camera. That way the user is perceived as smarter. It's like some Japanese thing. It's some crazy Japanese concept that makes these things so ridiculous. I mean, some of these cameras, you can't find anything. Right. And with the Kodak stuff, was really easy to use. I don't know. I just feel bad about the whole thing. I think a lot of it was they came with this crazy printer. They said the printer, this was a good one. The printer was going to save you money on ink. Well, you know, the printer game is about ink. It's about making money on ink. It's not where you cut the corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you want to do is a high-quality printer. So they had a low-quality printer. They thought it was good. I looked at it. Every print from it was really bad. They had a low-quality printer and really cheap ink, and they thought this was going to set the world on fire, and nobody was interested. I think one thing they ignore, so I got an Epson printer here. Mm-hmm. I can buy cheap ink from China that's compatible with this printer it was cheaper than the Kodak cheap ink. Yeah, it cost one-third the price of Epson ink, but most smart money, after they get a clue, don't buy the brand name inks anymore.
Or they buy the what do they call those? The externals that just are gigantic, you know?
Well, if you have a big commercial printer, yeah, you buy the big bottles of ink, and you just shove that in there, and then you just keep printing forever.
You just have to deal with that one time when you change it and it gets all over your hands.
Oh,
the worst.
That ink is the worst.
The worst.
Anyway, that's all I can say. I mean, you know, the company zigged when it should have zagged, I guess.
Yep. So, you know, one of the things that's let's kind of talk about Apple, and I'll get back to this whole discussion of what's going to happen with fiscal cliff and an idea here. But Apple hit $500 this week. All of a sudden, the penguins, you know, we call the analysts penguins. Nobody downgrades Apple. Never a downgrade, right? Never a downgrade. All of a sudden, one jumps. They all jump. Citigroup downgraded it this week. A few other firms downgraded it, took their price down, et cetera, blah, blah, because of this. Meanwhile, they sold 2 million iPhone 5s in China this weekend, which was just a record.
Yeah, the China sales really have to be taken into account here, it seems to me. I think they may be bailing out on Apple too soon.
I think, well, Apple hit 500, came back that day about 4 or 5%. We actually sold our Apple today for a couple of reasons. But this is about the third or fourth time we bought it. This one was not a great buy. I think we, you know, lost like 12% on it. But it wasn't a really large position, but, you know, it just doesn't have the mojo right now. It doesn't have something's happening with the company, whatever it may be. But a lot of downgrades coming, and now they just lost the preliminary ruling against the pinch to zoom patent.
Oh.
Which Apple was using as this big cornerstone in a case against Samsung.
Everybody, yeah.
So we'll see.
You know, so I was in an Apple store a couple days ago, one of the new ones. And I found it distressing. They've changed the layout, I believe, because I don't remember seeing anything like this. It was these huge tables,
yeah,
with the same device, all ton of them on each table, whatever device it is. And it was starting to look like a Goodwill store. It had some sort of it did not have what I'm looking for. It didn't have the pizzazz of an Apple store. It had cheap quality that I couldn't put my finger on, but that losing that guy to JCPenney's has ruined two companies, it appears.
You know, that desk that you're talking about, that big wood block, it's got this really cool cash register built right into it that's operated by their iPhones.
Huh.
Right underneath it, they just plug it in and whatever, it just pops open the drawer and they do the sale right there. You don't even have to walk up to the front anymore.
Well, whatever. I didn't find it...
All right.
And a bunch of guys standing around yakking. I mean, they're the same thing. I've seen that for a while.
Right, with beards and earrings in their ears. And
yeah, too many of them, and they don't do anything. They don't come around and say anything to anyone. I'm not thinking this is going well.
Yep. One of the things that's going to happen, by the way, switching gears to back a little bit on the fiscal cliff, there's a lot of things that are happening, some little nuances, by the way. Like, for example, you remember when the government came in and said, okay, we're guaranteeing – through the FDIC, $250,000 on CDs and money markets and all that in a bank. What used to be $100,000, remember that? They upped it?
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, this is going to be rolling back also.
They're rolling it back?
Well, it's part of the rollback.
So you're not getting insured for $250,000 anymore?
That's correct.
You're getting insured for $100,000?
It'll go back to the regular way, what it was supposed to be $100,000, yeah.
Hmm.
Now, this is not definite. They may extend it. They may change it. Who knows? But that's what the plan is supposed to roll back automatically. That's another little thing, a little gotcha.
Hmm.
So the big question is, what are people going to do? Are they going to just, you know, all of a sudden realize this and, you know, they'll realize it when it's late, you know, too late. But they'll realize it and start taking their money out and throw it into maybe money markets. Or, I mean, what are they going to do with it?
You could put it in more than one bank and you get insured to the 100, don't you? Yeah,
you
pull out your money and go get another account someplace else and drop it in there.
Right, and then it's not really going to upset anything because we'll take from one bank, put it to the other, then the other one back into the other bank, so it's just going to keep spreading the money out, you know, to different banks. But it's still going to be a little bit of an interesting issue. You want to hear about this quick scam that hit my family today?
Yeah, I love scams.
So it was about 3 o'clock or so. My son called me and says, "What's going on?" I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I just called Papa, and I wanted him to go bowling with me. And he said to me, 'How are you doing?'" And my son said, "Okay, why?" "Well, are you okay?" "What do you mean?" "Well, you were in jail, weren't you?" He says, "What are you talking about?" It seems that somebody got my father-in-law's number, called up, and told him that my son was in jail on some kind of, a possession charge and some kind of a speeding thing. And if he wanted to get him out without any kind of problems and they don't have to do the processing, you got to send $1,800 right now through a Western Union or a MoneyGram. So the big thing was that somebody was on the phone saying it was my son, which it wasn't, and said, "Don't tell mom and dad. You know, because we'll get this all straightened out. We'll get our money back in a couple of days. Just a misunderstanding." So he didn't call me.
No.
He goes and gets cash out of the bank. Oh, he goes and gets cash out of the bank.
That's terrible.
And he goes to Walmart. Walmart, you can do up to $1,000. He goes to CVS, $800. And he sends the money where? To Mexico City.
Oh,
we get the phone number of the guy that calls. The phone number is registered to Canada. Okay? And then after this all goes down, they call back later in the day saying that the deal didn't go through right. They need more money.
Oh, nice try. Didn't go through right. They need more money. Well, they figure they got a guy on the line. You know, once you get the fish hooked.
Right.
You might as well just see how far you can reel him in before it gets a clue.
But it was because if he didn't send the money, he's going to stay in jail. Meanwhile, my son's right next to me talking to me. Okay. All right. I'm like, what? Now, I call up MoneyGram. I'm like, please do me a favor. Can you tell me some information? Well, we have to get the guy. So I bought on my father-in-law on the phone. MoneyGram cannot give me any information other than that it was sent and it was received, you know, picked up by my son. I said, "What are you, in Mexico City?" I said, "That's impossible." I said, "I would like to see the identification of the party that received this, plus any kind of pictures that you have of this person that picked this up, because I obviously must, you know, get some identification. We cannot release that information. Do not have that available." I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "This is clearly fraud. I want to reverse this transaction." "Can't do that. Sorry. No information available for you." I'm like, "What are you talking about? You have the person that did it on here, and I gave you the information. You see the transaction. Nothing can be released." So I went a little AWOL on this guy. So it turns out, he says, "Well, you can contact your local authorities, this and that." Now, I know some people. We have to get the FBI involved. It's not a lot of money, but, you know, it's the principle. Do you realize how much of this could be going on?
Oh, yeah. If this happened to you out of the blue, it's got to be happening all over the place.
Yeah, and MoneyGram is just sending this stuff, taking their little fee, and, you know.
Yeah, they're happy as a clam.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to go. This has to be stopped, and MoneyGram should be responsible for this.
I am making a stink.
You should. You know, go for
it. I'm making a stink. I know some people in the higher authority. I know some people in the FBI, some people in local high-ups. I already sent the email. This is the kind of thing they will bite into. So this is bad news. This is just, you know.
I've never heard this scam. It's a great scam. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I wouldn't. I like it for entertainment value. Obviously, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I didn't like it because it's screwing people.
So the funny thing is that, or not the funny thing. The thing is that now this is international wire fraud, right? You know what I'm saying? It's also preying on the elderly. Florida has some serious laws about preying on the elderly, you know, whatever. And I would think that they have to have pictures of this, and then it's also in Walmart. You go to the MoneyGram in Walmart and CVS. So you got all these other places involved too.
Oh yeah, no. This is you maybe opening up a nice can of worms.
I like it.
You know, well, good luck with that one.
Thank you very much. I'm going to make it my mission. Japan stocks have been on fire because even though they're in a technical recession, their exports are awful. Everything's terrible. They had an election, and the guy that's coming in, who was a former prime minister, is a big believer in stimulus. So I guess Japan's going to increase their debt again. And their stock market Nikkei was over 10,000. It was like 8,800 a few weeks ago or so.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. ShopperTrak cut its mid-season holiday forecast. This is kind of interesting because, you know, don't forget we had that whole issue with hurricane and tropical storm Sandy. And now people are kind of bummed about the fiscal cliff, the shootings in Connecticut and all this, and saying that during this period, all of a sudden, post the Black Friday, people are kind of a little bit more dour outlook. So I thought I'd mention that. A couple other things, and I want to talk about some of my themes for 2013, some way out wacky ideas. A cool gift idea. I just got this Bluetooth headset. Mm-hmm. Now, what I thought was cool about it was, can you see the link there?
Yeah, let me check it.
You may have seen these. I don't know. Look at the design. So it sits around your neck, almost like a necklace kind of thing.
Yeah, I've seen these.
Yeah, but what's cool about it is the microphone's in there, so the microphone's kind of touching your throat, so you get the...
Yeah.
And then it's Bluetooth. It has little magnets where the ear pieces automatically go.
Yeah.
You don't like it?
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you like any Bluetooth?
I think they're kind of lame.
But I like it for, like, if I want to listen to music.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of easy to work with right off the iPhone.
Yeah.
Right off my computer. No.
It might be. I mean, it might be for that if you want to stick to your buddy. I personally like to listen to music through some big speakers, but okay.
Yeah, I could see those big speakers in your house too. I see them with the kind of the woven front with the beige. It has some kind of a silver.
Hey, you know, when I was a kid, we only listened to Pounding Rocks.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, no, anyway. I got a very nice speaker system. I got a fantastic amplifier. I mean, the whole thing just sounds terrific.
Do you have records with a diamond needle?
Anyway, what? So you have predictions for?
By the way, this is the LG Tone Plus HBS 730 that I think is kind of cool. I got in. Just check it out. Right. I have some way out predictions. Maybe, maybe not. Just some thoughts here. Crazy things that can happen. I thought maybe you should chime into some of these, whether or not they're on this list or not. So I have Netflix hitting 300. All of a sudden, it's back in vogue. Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. That's never going to happen.
Okay, unemployment rate hitting 6%.
No, not in the next. Nope. Not this next year. It's not.
Okay. How about U.S. gets credit rating cut by 2 notches?
One notch.
Starbucks buys Green Mountain.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Zynga goes bankrupt. I don't think that's a prediction. That's a fact. So I move on. Windows 8 sales come to a
You just swing for the fences with these things. This comes to an abrupt halt.
Any one of these is a Market Watch column for you.
Yeah, well.
Post office cuts down to 5 days of delivery.
Yeah, I think that's overdue. We don't need Saturday delivery. Come on.
Yeah. Hewlett Packard is the best performing tech stock next year?
No chance.
Amazon drops by 20%.
That's always a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Spain requests a bailout in the first quarter.
Well, where'd you get this one? Do you have a hint that you think this is going to happen in the first quarter?
As we say in my country, from my tocas.
Okay, so that's not going to happen either.
It may happen. I mean, they've been sliding along and doing their thing, and they've been resisting.
Yeah,
but
they might. Okay, it's possible.
And if they do that,
if they get a good deal, they'll do it.
Right. Portugal will follow. Well, what a good deal. Look at Greece. Greece just got upgraded.
Yeah, no, Greece did fine. And they're, of course, this is going to, you know, a year from now, we're going to be saying, what happened with Greece? They're back in the toilet.
Yeah.
I mean, this is never going to end.
And then they buy back their bonds again at 30 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, they're so geniuses.
It's beautiful.
Geniuses.
It's beautiful. I love it. Euro hits 120. It's at 132 now.
Yeah, in all of next year, probably it could, yeah, easily.
Machines go wild. Flash crash again the first half of this year. Low volume, again, getting crazy with complacency, and we get some kind of a wacky movement in the market in a one-day movement.
Huh. You have oil hitting $60, too, which is
oil,
possible.
Yep, oil hitting $60. Way out wacky thought, the DH Unplugged website gets redesigned.
You mean by somebody who actually doesn't just take a cheap template from the
WordPress
people and just use that? You mean something more elaborate? Yeah.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Free template.
Next year, we're doing it.
And maybe a listener could, if there's an aspiring web designer for WordPress templates and you think that, hey, I got the greatest idea for DH Unplugged, like something that actually matches their logo. And people would want to go to versus just, you know, looking at it and say, is this even active? So anyway, those are kind of some of my ideas. I know you want to get to the stocks. You want to go to the spreadsheet?
Well, now you came up with the idea we should either kill these stocks and start over.
Yeah.
Kill them all and start over or just kill a few. Or this would be, I just thinking about this. And now I've come kind of decided, or for myself, you have to, I'm not deciding for the two of us. But I think it might be cool to kill the ones. This is the end of the year. This is your opportunity to kill what you want to kill and keep what you want to keep.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I like that. Because I would actually reverse the gold trade, or at least maybe not reverse
it. Yeah, you just get out. Boom, you're done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of swinging in the wind.
Right, exactly. So when you look at this list right now, it's pretty impressive.
It's very good. I think it's outstanding.
Sanderson Farms came out with earnings. They beat, even though the expectation was for a much lower number due to the high cost of grain and all that through the period. And that was a purple one, which we shared.
Well, you want to just kill it? We'll take the profit and run?
Yeah, we'll take the profit on that.
All right,
let's go to
the top. Let's start at the beginning. Icon Enterprise. I've been in the thing since.
You need to wait a second because I need to go into the actual document.
You haven't opened.
I haven't opened, but I'm going to open it up here. I'm going to put a little note over here. Okay, Icon Enterprises. You're following the man that buying the big.
Since January. It went up 8%. Let's get out, take the 8%, and go home.
Okay, we're gonna sell. I'm gonna put a sell there. Okay, Cracker Barrel still in the potential for a buyout or something going on.
Yeah,
you love that.
I'm gonna take the 10% and go home.
Okay, sell. This is kind of like I feel like curtain one, curtain two. You know what I'm saying?
Transdigm.
Transdigm. They came out with earnings today. Oh, they came out. They were breaking out today. Actually,
I'm in the green on all my stocks. This is great.
Yep. TransDigm is actually doing well. It's a cloud-based company.
Sounds good.
Oracle came out with some stuff.
I'm out. Take it out.
Out of that one, too.
Take the money and run.
I have this feeling you're going to hold on to your losers. Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm not that kind of. No, no. Then you just mock me. I'm getting out of these babies I don't know what's going to happen at first. I'd rather put them back in later, but I'm getting. This is all profit. I'm done. Yep. I'm out. Yep. Sanderson Farm, we're done. Let me just go through mine first, and then you can go through yours.
Let's see. Let me go down to Sanderson Farms. Okay, go. Go ahead. You got
Agco.
Whatever that is.
I'm out.
Okay.
BlackRock.
Where are we down? BlackRock, yeah.
Way down there. I'm out. Out.
Okay. Starwood Hotels.
Starwood Hotels. I'm going to get out of that thing. It's just not going to make it. I'm through.
You might as well stick it out, because if it goes only 1.5%.
I'm good.
Sell. We're selling with an 8% loss. Navistar International got whacked today, but good.
Yeah, I think I made what I was going to make. I made 10.6% out.
Advanced Micro Devices, 23%.
Boy, I like that company. I think I'll stick with. Well, then again, we got the fiscal cliff and the rest of it's possible. I'm out. I'm out. I've decided I'm out of everything.
What about your Apple short, mister?
I'll short them again later. When that thing starts heading south, it's going to be pretty awesome.
What about Vistaprint, by the way? Beautiful little buy there. Told you that was going to break out.
Yeah, Vistaprint's good. I'm out.
Okay, so what does that –
And
we
3D
have to do that?
Systems out. I got nothing left. I'm done.
Yeah, 3D was nice, huh?
Yeah, that was a good one.
And then I see that you did a follow-up article on Autodesk.
Yes, I told you exactly what I was going to do, and I did it. Mm-hmm. So people who listen to the show get a heads up, although I believe it's a five-year kind of a move. But at least you knew in advance I was going to write about Autodesk's being at the top of the game here. All right, so I'm out. I've apparently dumped all my stocks. I'm coming in. I'm starting from scratch in January.
All right, let me go through mine here. We have Legg Mason short. We'll probably close that out because it is breaking up a little bit. Haynes Celestial, I got to hold that little bugger. Looks like it could go down further. Dollar General, I got to hold that short too. Silver Wheaton, I've been waiting for that thing to break down for the longest time. I'm going to put a question mark on that one. Macy's short, I got to stick with that one.
you're not getting that. This is your idea, and you don't get out of anything. It's hilarious.
I'm selling Facebook.
Okay. That's a good one.
I am going to sell the gold, sell the short gold, get out of it. GNC Holdings, very concerned about how that doesn't break down here. But what's the other one? Did I miss something? Michael Kors. Michael Kors, we got to close that, I guess, right now since we're doing this. What else do we have here? GNC Holdings. I'll have to have a question mark on GNC. So we only have like two left, two or three left.
Yeah. Well, I got nothing left. I'm starting from scratch.
Yep, starting from scratch. We'll have a brand
new
worksheet.
We'll have a good look at January. January will give us an indication of what's going to happen the rest of the year, and then I may go heavy short or maybe not. I don't know. I'm going to have to see what happens. I'd rather be on the sidelines with all these profits, and one loss and 10 profits that are reasonable.
So let me ask you this question. Are we going to sell it January 31st or sell them tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
They're sold. Everything's sold tomorrow that we're selling. That's fine.
We're out.
I got you. All right, there you go.
We're not going to be on the show for the next couple of weeks anyway, so we won't be able to discuss anything. So
we're going to have some serious capital gains taxes we're going to have to pay on these.
Yeah. Life's tough. Well, now's the time.
Yeah.
You don't want to pay them after the fiscal thing doesn't work out.
See, that's what this is all about. We did some serious tax planning is what we're doing
here.
That's
what
it
is.
This is also called a gain harvesting.
Bailing. I call it bailing.
Bailing out.
It's okay.
All right. Well, I will see you next. Anything big planned for the holiday?
No, I'm going up north. I'm actually going to drive up there. I've made it for my blog. I'm going to document driving up there in a Ford C-Max, which is a hybrid.
How exciting!
And I talked to Ford about this. I said, if you loan me a car for this trip, mm-hmm. I can do some mileage checks. I mean, I won't drive it like a maniac. And see if Consumer Reports was right or wrong.
Interesting. By the way.
Nobody ever takes these loaners and does long trips and so on.
I think I figured out why we did not get a bottle of that scotch.
Yeah, apparently the price has skyrocketed.
It's like $1,500 a bottle.
It used to be $400.
Okay, so I think we didn't know that it was that expensive. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, there's millionaires, guys loaded that listen to our show, and I'm sure some guy, you know, it's like if he dug into his pocket, you know, that amount of money would fall on the floor and change. So I don't think that's the point. Maybe asking a little too much because we asked for two bottles.
Yeah.
So
I'll take a 16. And by the way, I'm feeling a little unloved by the
audience. If you're going to get a 16, don't get Laphroaig 16. Laphroaig really is no good till it gets really old.
But I'm serious. I'm feeling a little unloved this year. Last year we got a few. Maybe it's too early in the holiday season. Maybe nobody's listening. Maybe I'm feeling unloved. I don't know. What's the story?
I think everyone's depressed. I think we're going into depression. I think it's going to just get worse.
Mm. A hat, T-shirt.
That's what you're going to be. That's what you're going to be getting. T-shirts and like a cheap hat that has a company name on it.
A mug.
You know? I'll send you a mug.
All right. Thank you so much. There you go. All right. Listen, till next year, have a wonderful, wonderful new year and a happy holiday. I wish the same to all of our listeners. By the way, these stocks that we talk about are not a recommendation to buy or sell anything, and we're not giving any recommendations. This is just a fun game that we play, and boy, is it fun. And this is recommended that you seek professional financial advice before investing.
And
stock investing is risky, so please note that this is not a recommendation. Right?
Right. And we'll start over again in January. We'll see you then.
I look forward to it. All right. Have a great new year and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Auld Lang Syne. 2013. Fiscal Cliff. Here we come.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.